Ain't got much time left. I mean, give me just a few minutes here. I want to share the Word of God with you. Amen. Thank you. That's all I needed was those three. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. I promise we won't go long, because God's already spoken to us and ministered to us in different ways about different things. And you've had an opportunity to cry out to God, reach out to God. Listen, folks, stay hungry for God. Stay hungry for God. I know life has a way of coming at you, like I was saying, trying to beat the shot out of you and trying to pacify you. You know, one of the reasons, in countries where there's been dictators or tyrants or things, you know, one of the first things they try to do is pacify the population. They through intimidation, through terror, through all kinds of things. What do they want to do? They want to pacify, because they know what? If they can pacify a population, they can control a population. And the devil knows this. If he can pacify the church, he can control the church. Hello? And that's what all of his strategy is to this, is either to deceive or to pacify. That's basically all he's got going. He'll lie to you and lie to you and try to deceive you and everything. Or he'll try to beat you down and pacify you. Don't you be doing none of that shouting stuff. Don't you be doing none of that declaring stuff. Don't you be talking about what all God's going to do. Don't you be doing, but look out. So-and-so did that. Look what happened to them. He'll try to pacify you. So I want to talk about, because what happens is a lot of times the world looks at the church, and I'm concerned sometimes that they don't see the real church. So I want to talk just a few minutes this morning I got left about the real church. What does a real church look like? What is the real church? The first thing it is it's a victorious, overcoming church. And when I talk about church, I'm not talking about some structure or some building. I'm talking about you and I, the people of God. And in 1 John chapter 4, or chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." Notice he said everyone. Say this after me. Everyone means I'm one. So he said this is the victory. He said everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So God has called us as a church, as people of God, as a church, the people of God, to be overcoming and victorious. Now, the very usage of the word overcoming tells us this, what? Something's there in the way, or you wouldn't have to overcome it. Isn't that right? There are going to be obstacles. There are going to be roadblocks set up in your pursuit of God and in your pursuit of the purpose and plan of God. The devil's not just going to lay down and say, well, bless his heart, bless her heart. They're going after God. Y'all stay away from them. No, he's going to gang up on you. He's going to manipulate things. You know, he's going to do everything he can to bring circumstances against you. He's going to do everything he can. Matthew 16:18, the Bible tells us that we have a victory over hell. God has given us victory over hell. Amen. I'm going to read you something here. In Matthew's Gospel 18, I'm going to read that to you. I want to read it to you out of the Amplified, because I like the way it reads. Matthew 16, turn over there real quick. He says, "I tell you, you are Peter," Greek Petros. In other words, the word Peter here means a large piece of rock. "And on this rock, Petra," a huge rock like Gibraltar, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it." Now, if you read in the context here, Peter had just had a revelation. And he'd had a revelation about who Jesus was. Because Jesus had been saying up in verse 16, "Who do men say that I am?" and all so forth. And Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father." And upon this rock, what rock? The rock of revelation. If we are going to be the church God has called us and meant for us to be, the first thing we got to get it settled in us without compromise, without apologies, is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and there is no salvation in any other name. because there is a spirit that is pervading and prevailing in our culture and society today that says, don't be absolute about this. You can't be so narrow-minded as to say that Jesus is the only way. I mean, because you're going to offend the Hindus, the Muslims, you're going to offend all these other ways, and aren't their ways just as good as our ways? And the Bible says there is a way which seems right unto men, but the end thereof leads to destruction. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So an overcoming, victorious church, he said, how does it overcome? Our faith in what? A revelation of who Jesus is. He wasn't just a prophet. He's not just a good teacher. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just someone else who was highly enlightened like Buddha or somebody else. He was the Son of the living God, God incarnate, God taken upon himself flesh, who came, he lived, he died, he rose again. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Amen. We've got to get it settled. And also in Colossians 1, verse 13, it says that he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. Now here's the thing. Too many of God's people are allowing the dominion of darkness to rule in your life. There is darkness in our life, the dominion of darkness. He rules and reigns over us. God says do this, but the dominion of darkness says you can't, so what do? We don't. God says, I want you to do this, but the dominion of darkness rises up and says, you're not going to be able to do it. You can't do it. And guess what we end up doing? Not doing it. Listen, let's just be real frank and up forward about it. He said, Jesus said, whoever you obey, that's who's in control. We can't say, well, in my heart, you know, I belong to God, but yet we're allowing the dominion of darkness to rule and reign in our lives. Darkness, you know, lack decides what I do. Not God's promise, not God's word. And we start allowing circumstance and things of this world to control our decision making. Well, it's not convenient. It's going to cost me something. This is too hard or whatever. Listen, that's just an excuse. What we're allowing is the dominion of darkness to rule and reign in our lives. You know, I found out that most Christians will do anything if it don't cost too much. But if it's going to cost me something, bless God, forget that. I'm not giving up nothing. And we wonder why we haven't reached the world. We wonder why we're not reaching the world. Listen, that level of Christianity will not. And we have to decide. See, he's called us, I'm talking about the real church. The real church has victory and is an overcoming church. That means that we don't lay down at the first sign of trouble. We don't just lay down and say, okay, that's it. Well, okay. No, we rise up and say, bless God. My God said it, and greater is he that's in me. And bless God, we're going to go forward. I'm going to stand up on my feet, and I'm going to raise up the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and I'm going forward. My God said we're going to take the land, and bless God, we're going to take it. Amen. As one guy said, if it hair lips the devil. Listen. We are to be a victorious, overcoming church. And if we're not victorious and overcoming, then we are not revealing the true church. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The Bible, Matthew 5:13, says the church is to be salt and light. Salt has a strong, preserving, pungent quality about it, doesn't it? Isn't that true? I mean, you can't taste salt and mistake it for anything else. You can't taste salt and say, man, that kind of tastes a little bit like honey. That tastes a little bit like cinnamon. That tastes a little bit like chocolate. No, salt has a very unique flavor, doesn't it? I mean, even if you don't like much salt, I mean, you know when you bite into it. You know when you taste of it. You know that's salt and it's nothing else. And Jesus used, isn't it interesting? He didn't say, now you are the honey that sweetens the world. He didn't say that, did he? He said, you are the church. In other words, you are unique. There's something unique about the church. There's something unique about the message. There's unique about the Savior. There's unique about who you are. You are salt in the earth. There is a uniqueness. There is supposed to be a savor, a pungent, preserving quality about you, so that when people see you, when people around you, they don't mistake it for anything else. Christianity, when it's truly lived out in authenticity, okay, it is something that unlike all the other philosophies of the world, it cannot coexist. Oh, I know this is popular. It cannot coexist. Truth cannot coexist with a lie. You know, the gospel, the church, it is very pungent. And see, in many cases, what we've tried to do in the modern day church is we try to make it, you know, something different. It's not salt now, it's honey. We want everybody to be comfortable. We want everybody to like us. We want everybody. We don't want anybody to be offended. We don't want the truth in any way to hurt anybody's feelings. We want everybody to like us. That's not salt. It may be sugar, it may be honey, it may be something else, but it's not salt. Thank you. So listen, salt, we're to preserve, salt preserves things, and the church is to preserve the truth. Yes, we speak the truth in love, but we do not speak the love is not compromise. We're going to have to relearn what love really is. Love means I tell you the truth, even though you might not like me for it, even though I might be misunderstood, even though I might be rejected. I'm not talking about in some harsh way, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm glad people told me the truth about the gospel. I want to hear the truth. I don't want to get to the place where, you know, the Bible says in the last days that people are going to have itching ears. He said they're going to heap to themselves teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. And it'll always only be good and wonderful and positive and just, oh, you're just so wonderful. Everything's fine. You're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. It's good. It's all right. You know, and you know, anybody that knows me, I'm a positive guy. I don't believe you can get in the gospel and not be. But here's the thing. We need to understand this. Sometimes the truth will cut you before it heals you. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 that God's word is like a what? Two-edged what? How many of you know a sword cuts? And you know, if you go to a surgeon, you know, and you have some surgery to repair or, you know, to cut something out or whatever for the purpose of the healing process, what do they first do on you? They cut you. And so then what happens after the cut? There comes what? The healing. But see, that's the part of the salt. See, and we don't, you know, the world doesn't like that. The world wants us to just say, hey, you're okay, I'm okay, it's okay. You know, it doesn't really matter. You don't have to really be a Christian. You really think that God is going to send all these people to hell? Come on. Well, I don't know. What did he make it for then? Yeah, we know he's not willing that they go there. But here's the thing. If we don't get the... See, because what will pacify the church the most? Our message is not that important. It's just not that relevant. So what's the big urgency? What's the big deal? What difference does it matter whether we get the message out or not? It's no big deal. I mean, everybody's got, you know, God is love. Everybody's going to go to heaven, you know, after all. Well, see, can you see? That pacifies us, doesn't it? But if you look in the pages of this Bible, when the church began, they were a bunch of people that believed that they needed to get the message out. There was an urgency about them. There was something that said, man, we got to get this message out. Because if what we say is true, if what we believe is true, if what Jesus delivered to us as the message of the gospel is true, then we've got to let people know. And also, salt preserves things. We are to preserve through the church, we are to be a preserving force in the earth. Are you listening to me? Amen. Instead of the earth just putrefying and going, as they say, to hell in a handbasket, the church, the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, the message we have, and also our prayers are to act as salt to preserve this world against God's judgment. Ezekiel 22:30, God said this. He said, I look for someone who would stand in the gap to intercede. And he said, I found no one. And if you read it there, he says, I'm looking for someone, he says, so that what? I would not have to render my judgment. It's not that God is just sitting up there, oh, I can't wait till I get them all. But here's the thing. God does not compromise. God does not compromise. He is righteous 24/7. He is holy 24/7. Amen. The truth that came out of his mouth is truth 24/7. This is the God we're talking about. And so he's not up there rubbing his hands, oh, I can't wait to get him. No, but he is wanting to hold back his righteousness, but he's looking to see in the church, is there any salt? Is there anybody interceding? Is there anybody standing in the gap? Is there anybody declaring my righteousness? Is there anybody declaring my gospel, my message to this generation? And I want to tell you what, it's going to take some boldness like the first generation of Christians had to have. Because it is not popular right now in the United States to be a Christian anymore. Not one I'm talking about. Not the stripe and flavor we're talking about. It's not popular. People will say you're a bigot, you're narrow-minded, you're prejudiced. They will call you all kinds of things. What did Jesus say? Rejoice. He didn't say get mad. He said rejoice when they call you names. The church is to be what? A compassionate church. Matthew 25. We got to close here in just a minute. I'll have to pick this up the rest of the time. But let me make one more point here. We'll close. Matthew 25. We're to be victorious. We're to be overcoming. We're to be a salt and light church. And we're to be a church of compassion. Let's pick it up. Well, we'll back up to verse 34. 25:34. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed of my father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me. And I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Not only are overcoming an assault light church, but we are to be what? A compassionate church. A compassionate church. This is what we're being. This is what I'm saying. We're not trying to be gleeful about this in a legalistic, self-righteous way. That bless God, you're not like me, so that you've had it. No. But here's the thing. We want to tell you the truth, but we want to do it in love. But we want to tell you the truth. And we want to tell you the truth because if we don't tell you the truth, if the church doesn't tell the truth, who else will? Because no one else has it. And I know, again, that smacks of narrow-mindedness. I don't mean that any one of us in the church has all the handle on the truth and the insight. But I'm going to tell you, in the church, the Bible says in Colossians that God is going to make manifest all of his manifold wisdom. So I'm talking about in the church, God's body, God's people, in the Word of God, the Bible, that is the truth. And it is the only truth that leads to salvation. And so we, as carriers of the truth, we must be willing to speak that truth. We speak it in love, but we speak it uncompromisingly. And you know, the truth of the matter is, if you really love me, you would tell me the truth. You wouldn't lie to me. You wouldn't enable me. You wouldn't cover up if you really loved me. Isn't that true? You would not in a harsh way. I'm not talking about us being harsh and judgmental and legalistic. That's not what I'm talking about. You understand that, don't you? I'm not talking about that. You know, like we're, you know, something come. Because we're nothing without Him. And but here's the thing. Neither are they. And without Him, there is no salvation. And so we want to reach out. And you know, many ways, you know, the starting of telling the truth, of them being able to you know, taste of the salt that's in us and in the message is, first of all, what? Is that we reach out to them in love and in kindness. Isn't that right? Before they ever receive the message, we love on them. We reach out to them. We show acts of goodness and kindness and mercy and compassion to them. You know what? I'm going to be kind and compassionate and help people even if they don't receive the gospel. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm talking about the church here. Isn't that right? God is. I said God is. I'm going to be like Him. It says He causes His rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Isn't that right? They're breathing the same God air, the air that God provided that you're breathing. Each day they get up and have another day of life. God gave that to them. Jesus died for them. I'm going to treat them with compassion. I'm going to treat them with dignity. But I'm also going to give them the truth and love. They're going to get around me and they're going to taste some salt. And you know, and I'm believing that they're going to rub up against me and be around me. And the salt that's in me is going to start making them thirsty. They start getting thirsty. That's one of the things salt will do, isn't it? Try to eat a whole bag of pretzels without drinking anything. It's hard to do. It makes you thirsty, doesn't it? And when they get around us, individually and collectively, what? We want them to start thirsting after what? After the goodness of God in our life. After the grace of God in our life. After the peace of God in our life. After the forgiveness of God in our life. After all the good things God has done in us as a people of God. And they start saying, man, I want some of that. Man, I want to be forgiven. I want to be free from this guilt. I want to be free from all this stuff that's being heaped on me. The rejection in my life, the hurts in my life. You mean I can be free from that? You mean that's not God punishing me? And so what, we can begin to reach out and be the church that God called us to be. And I believe if we do that, you know what? Jesus said what? Men are going to be drawn to Him. Men are going to be drawn to Him. Don't ever fall into this trap. Well, you know what? I'm just going to water down the message a little bit. Because, I mean, you know, man, it sounds strong coming out my mouth to say Jesus is the only way. Man. Because that's not what the world's saying, is it? Oh, now. You narrow-minded. You know, prejudiced people. You're just too extreme. Amen. Well, let me ask you this. Isn't there something called mathematical truth? Now, does anybody want to compromise when it comes to it? We're going to shoot a rocket up to the moon. You're going to be in it. But we're just going to ignore some of the basic rules of physics and algebra. Because it's too hard. It's too difficult. So we're just going to, you know, we're just going to fudge a little bit there, but we're going to put you on the top of that thing and blast you off. Any volunteers? Now, you know, it's interesting. We're not extreme when it comes to other areas concerning truth, are we? I mean, when I go, if I had to go to the doctor and submit myself to some surgery or something, do you want them to just take just any old shortcuts? You know, the surgeon called in sick today, so we saw Bob out in the waiting room, and he's going to do it today. Now, he hadn't really ever cut into anybody like this, but he has done some sheet metal work. So he knows something about cutting. No, we wouldn't want anybody to compromise in other areas of truth, would we? But yet, when it comes to spiritual things, can you see the deception behind this? That people, oh yeah, it's okay. It's okay. You know. It's not okay. But here again, let me just say this in closing. We're not trying to be hard. We're not trying to be legalistic. We're not trying to beat people down or anything like this. We're not out to, play getcha or anything. We're just going to give you the truth. And it's going to be salty. And I'm going to tell you what, the truth that hits me sometimes, I mean, even after 33 years. Wow. It hits me. But, in the end, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. God, thank you. You didn't just let me go my own stupid way. And as I'm falling off the cliff, you didn't wait till I fell off the cliff and then shouted down, told you so. Not right. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet. Well, I'll have to finish this. I didn't have time to finish it today. Listen. Jesus said something very extreme in the book of Revelations. He said, I wish that you were either cold or hot. Cold or hot. And I want to say this. When I was cold, buddy, I was a popsicle cold. I'm not proud of it, but I'm telling you what. You've heard me. I've shared a little bit of my testimony, man. If they'd had a picture by the Word Center, they could have had my picture there. How about you, Gary? I mean, man, I did it up. I wasn't half-hearted about it. But you know what? When I got saved, bless God, I got hot. And I've been hot ever since. And I want to get hotter. Amen? And so today, listen, if you feel like, you've been... Because Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, now this is what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Lukewarm is passive. If you're passive about the things of God, you've gotten lukewarm. Now, I don't know what that means. I'm not going to try to put some interpretation on what it means when he says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You figure it out. It don't sound good. Whatever it is, it don't sound like anything I want. How about you? I'm not going to split hairs with my salvation. Well, you'll probably get in. I don't want to probably get in. I want to know I'm in. Isn't that right? Don't you feel that way? So here's the thing. I want you to, if you just take a moment to bow your heads just for a moment. Everybody in here, just bow your heads for a moment. And you would say, and you're not just saying it to me, but you're saying it really to God, because that's all that matters. You're saying, Pastor, there's some areas in my life where I've allowed some lukewarmness in, maybe some passivity in, or some, maybe even some compromise in. That's been me. But today, by the help and the grace of God and the Spirit of God that lives in me, I am serving notice that in that area of my life, no more, no more, no more. If that's you, just as an act of faith to God and confession to God, would you just lift your hand to God? I'm going to pray. Nobody's going to know. You just lift your hand to God. All over the auditorium, lift your hand to God. I'm going to pray. Father, you see the hands. You see the hands. And Lord, we know it's not by might and power which we possess, but it is by your Spirit and by your grace. Father, I thank you that there will come an awakening within those who are honest before you this morning. An awakening of the realization that they are victorious because the greater one lives in them. They are more than conquerors because of the grace of God that is in them. Because they are called by your name, because your hand is upon them, they can be victorious over these areas in their life. I pray, O God, that you would stir up within them the gift of God, that the fire of God, a hunger for God, would stir up again afresh and anew within them, O God. Father, there would come a new zeal, a new fire, new fervency in their life, O God. A new hunger for you and for the things of God. For all of us, I pray, O God, we will walk as that overcoming church you've called us to be. We will not allow the gates of hell to prevail against us. We will be salt. We will be light. We will walk in love and in compassion, but we will not compromise the truth. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Would you put your hands down, keep your heads bowed just for one moment longer? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never been forgiven of my sins. I've never invited Jesus into my heart and life to be my Savior. If that's you, would you just hold your hand up? Just wave it at me a little bit. I want to pray for you. Anybody in the room? Hallelujah. Thank you. I see this hand over here. Father, you see this hand? And I pray for this young man. I pray for him, oh God, right now as he calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, as he invites you to come into his life and forgive him of his sins. I thank you, oh God, there's coming a realization within him, Father, that his sins are forgiven, that he has become a new creation, a child of God. Oh God, answer the cry of his heart right now. Just cry out to him, young man. Cry out to God. Ask Jesus to come into your life, forgive you of your sins. In Jesus' name. This young man back there has got your hand up. Would you come up here a minute and let me pray with you? Would you mind? God bless you, young man. Thank you for your honesty. Hallelujah. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is no respecter of persons with him. God loves you unconditionally, and Jesus proved it when he went to the cross. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And as you call on the name of the Lord back there, the Bible says that God forgives you of your sins, and that he makes you a brand new person, a child of God. Father, I thank you. What's your name? Joe. Father, thank you for Joe. Thank you for this life. Thank you for what you're doing in it today. You're making him a brand new creature in Christ. His sins are forgiven. His name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you that you ignite a fire within him, O God, that will never be quenched, a hunger that will never be satisfied except by you, O God, that he will run after you all with all of his heart. And all the days of his life, he will follow you, O God. He will not turn to the left or the right, but Father, he is sealed by the mighty Spirit of God. He is forever a child of God. It belongs to you. Thank you for your hand of grace upon him. In Jesus' name. Just stay right here with me a minute, Joe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Listen, stir yourself up. If you've allowed passivity to come in or lukewarmness, stir yourself up. That's all you have to do. Stir yourself up. Say, God, I'm not going to settle for second best, third best. I'm not going to settle for mediocrity in my Christian walk. I'm going with all that I am. With your help, I'm going with all that I am. I want to be salt. I want to be light. I want to make a difference. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got something you want to say? Oh, Lord Jesus.